Chapter 4, Adolescence, Getting Some Help. As governments, we stumble from crisis to crash program, lurching into the future without plan, without hope, without vision. Alvin Toffler, The Third Wave. Adolescence begins at the point in the life of your business when you decide to get some help. There's no telling how soon this will happen, but it always happens, precipitated by a crisis in the infancy stage. Every business that lasts must grow into the adolescent phase. Every small business owner who survives seeks help. What kind of help do you, the overloaded technician, go out to get? The answer is as easy as it is inevitable. Technical help. Someone with experience. Someone with experience in your kind of business. Someone who knows how to do the technical work that isn't getting done. Usually the work you don't like to do. The sales-oriented owner goes out to find a production person. The production-oriented owner looks for a salesperson. And just about everybody tries to find someone to do the books. Because if there's anything most small business owners hate to do, and therefore ignore, it's the books. And so it is that you bring in your first employee, Harry, a 68-year-old bookkeeper who's been doing the books since he was 12 years old in the old country. Harry knows the books. He knows how to do the books in 8 different languages. But most important, Harry has 22 years of experience doing the books in a company just like yours. There is nothing Harry doesn't know about your kind of business. And now he's yours. The world suddenly looks brighter again. A major ball is about to be caught, and by somebody else for a change. It's Monday morning. Harry arrives. You greet him warmly, and let's face it, feverishly. You've spent all weekend getting ready for this moment. You cleared out a generous space for him. You arranged the books and the stack of unopened letters on his desk. You bought a coffee cup with Harry printed on it. You were even thoughtful enough to find a cushion for his chair. He'll be sitting for a long time. There's a critical moment in every business when the owner hires his very first employee to do the work he doesn't know how to do himself or doesn't want to do. In your business, Harry is that person, and this Monday morning is that critical time. Think about it. You've taken a big step. The books are on Harry's desk rather than yours. And what's more, Harry is about to become the only other person in the whole world who knows the real story about you and your business. Harry is going to take one look at the books and know the truth. Harry, your very first and most important employee, is about to find out a secret you've been hiding from everyone else in your life, that you don't know what you're doing. The question is, what's he going to do about it? Will he laugh? Will he cry? Will he leave? Or will he go to work? And if Harry won't do the books, who will? But suddenly you hear the quiet, systematic clattering of the calculator's keys from Harry's desk. He's working. Harry's going to stay. You can't believe your luck. You're not going to have to do the books anymore. And in a single stroke, you suddenly understand what it means to be in business in a way you never understood before. I don't have to do that anymore. At last, you're free. The manager in you wakes up, and the technician temporarily goes to sleep. Your worries are over. Someone else is going to do that now. But at the same time, unaccustomed as you are to being the manager, your newfound freedom takes on an all-too-common form. It's called management by abdication rather than by delegation. In short, like every small business owner has done before you, you hand the books over to Harry and run. For a while, you are free, at least relatively so. After all, you still have all the other work to do. But now that you have Harry, things are beginning to change. Because when Harry's not totally immersed in the books, you can get him to answer the phone. And when he's not answering the phone, you can get him to do a little shipping and receiving. And when he's not doing the shipping and receiving, he might as well handle a few of your customers. And when he's not handling a few of your customers, well, who knows what you could think of next? Life becomes easier. Life becomes a dream. You begin to take a little longer lunch, 30 minutes instead of 15. You leave a little earlier at the end of the day, 8 o'clock instead of 9. Harry comes to you occasionally to tell you what he needs, and you, busy as usual, simply tell him to handle it. How doesn't matter, as long as he doesn't bother you with the details. You've got other fish to fry. Harry needs more people. The business is beginning to grow. Busy as usual, you tell him to hire them. He does. Harry's a wonder. It's great to have a guy like Harry. You don't have to think about what he's doing. You don't have to worry about how he's getting along. He never complains. He just works. And he's doing all the work you hate to do. It's the best of all possible worlds. You get to be the boss, doing the work you love to do, and Harry takes care of everything else. Ah, the life of an entrepreneur. And then it unexpectedly happens. A customer calls to complain about the shabby treatment she received from one of your people. Who was it, you ask, privately steaming? She doesn't know, but if you're going to hire people like that, she'll take her business elsewhere. You promise to look into it. Your banker calls to tell you you're overdrawn. How did that happen, you ask him, your heart dropping to your knees. He doesn't know, but if you don't watch it more closely, he'll have to take steps. You promise to look into it. Your oldest supplier calls to tell you that the order you placed the week before was placed wrong, so the shipment will be 10 weeks late. What's more, you're going to have to eat the overage. How did that happen? You ask him, reaching for a Rolaid. He doesn't know, but if you can't manage your ordering better than that, he'll have to look at other options. You promise to look into it. Out on the shipping dock, you walk up to a kid Harry hired. He's wrapping a package. You look at the package and explode. Who taught you to wrap a package like this? You ask the surprised kid. Didn't anyone show you how to do this right? Here, give it to me. I'll do it myself. And you do. That very afternoon, you happen to be walking by the production line. You almost drop in your tracks. Who taught you to do it that way? You stammer to the shocked production person. Didn't anybody show you how to do it right? Here, give it to me. I'll do it myself. And you do. The very next morning, you're talking to the new salesperson, also hired by Harry. What's happening to customer A? You ask her. Her answer sends you into a rage. When I took care of him, we never had problems like that, you wail. Here, give it to me. I'll take care of it myself. And you do. And the young shipping clerk looks at the production person, and they both look at the new salesperson, and they all look at their acting boss, Harry, and ask, who the hell was that? Harry just shrugs and says, as only a man who's worked for other people for 50-plus years can say, oh, that was just the boss. But hear this. What Harry knows is something you're about to learn. That it's only the beginning of a process that occurs in every adolescent business once the owner's management by abdication begins to take its toll. It's only the beginning of a process of deterioration in which the number of balls in the air not only exceeds your ability to juggle them effectively, but your people's ability as well. What Harry knows and what you're about to learn is that it's only the beginning of a process in which the balls begin to fall faster and with greater frequency than they ever did when you were doing everything yourself. And as the thud of the landing balls becomes deafening, you begin to realize that you never should have trusted Harry. You never should have trusted anyone. You should have known better. As the balls continue to fall at an overwhelming rate, you begin to realize that no one cares about your business the way you do. that no one is willing to work as hard as you work, that no one has your judgment or your ability or your desire or your interest, that if it's going to get done right, you're the one who's going to have to do it. So you run back into your business to become the master juggler again. It's the same old story. Walk into any adolescent business anywhere in the world, and you'll find the owner of the business doing it, doing it, doing it, busy, 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 doing everything that has to get done in his business, despite the fact that he now has people who are supposed to be doing it for him. People he's paying to do it. And what's worse is that the more he does, the less they do. And the less they do, the more he knows that if it's going to get done, he's going to have to do it himself. So he interferes with what they have to do even more. But Harry knew this when he started. He could have told you, his new boss, that ultimately the boss always interferes. Harry could have told you that the work will never be done to the boss's satisfaction. And the reason is that the boss always changes his mind about what needs to be done and how. What Harry doesn't know, however, is why. Why you're such a madman. That it's not your people who are driving you crazy. That it's not the complaining customer who's driving you mad. That it's not the banker or the vendor or the incorrectly wrapped package that's driving you up the wall. That it's not the nobody cares or that nothing gets done on time that's driving you insane. No, it's not the world that's the problem. It's that you simply don't know how to do it any other way. You're hopelessly, helplessly at a loss. For you to behave differently, you would need to awaken the personalities who've been asleep within you for a long time. The entrepreneur and the manager, and then help them to develop the skills only they can add to your business. But the technician in you won't stop long enough for that to happen. The technician in you has got to go to work. The technician in you has got to catch the balls. The technician in you has got to keep busy. The technician in you has just reached the limits of his comfort zone. I looked over at Sarah and could tell I had hit a nerve. Sarah had discovered something in the course of our conversation, something about her comfort zone that was very meaningful for her. And intuitively, I knew we had just taken a snapshot of it.